So we can think of today in many ways. I guess if I asked you what today is, most people would say Christmas Eve. And don't worry, I'm not going to confuse you by contradicting you, but this is also the last Sunday of Advent, as you can see from our Advent candles. So it's important that we hear the passages from that we just heard from Douglas today in that context also. It's a culmination. Today is a culmination of all we have learnt throughout Advent. Advent creates people, new people, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, wrote. Look up, your redemption is drawing near. Something different from what you see daily will happen. Just be aware, be watchful. Wait just another short moment. Wait and something quite new will break over you. God will come. The whole of Advent, not just today's passage from John, has been the cause of the wonderment of the marvelous and free working of God. Christmas teaches us that God is not bound by our notions of how a deity must behave. We all have an idea about how we believe God should act. At Christmas, though, we see God smashing through those restrictions. Quoting Bonhoeffer again, Bonhoeffer says, God is not ashamed of human lowliness, but goes right into the middle of it, chooses someone as an instrument, and performs the miracles right where they are least expected. God draws near to the lowly, loving the lost, the unnoticed, the unremarkable, the excluded, the powerless, and the broken. What people say is lost, God says is found. What people say is condemned, God says is saved. Where people says no, God says yes. Where people turn their eyes away in indifference or arrogance, God gazes with a love that grows warmer than anywhere else. Where people say something is despicable, God calls it blessed. Now that quote sums up for me the whole story of Advent, and this message comes directly from the passage from John that we heard a few minutes ago. But our way into this message is not normally through the Gospel of John, profound and clever a man though he is. We traditionally spend more time listening to the story through the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. That's because people love stories, and that's why last week's Nativity play is the way that many of us engage with the Christmas story. Now, we shouldn't feel bad about our pull towards stories. Jesus knew that pull well, and that's why he constructed the parables to explain deep theological truths in the way of a story. But today's passage from Isaiah and the one from John ground us in the theological meaning of the Christmas story, though I unfortunately can't illustrate it by wearing a sheep costume and keeping your attention that way. So I want to talk about the theological meaning of the Christmas time. Even though that doesn't sound like much fun, I know that the reason that many of us are here today is because we know we don't want to celebrate Advent and Christmas in the way that people in our society are beginning to do, who just think of Christmas simply as a figure of speech for love and goodwill. It's so much more than that, as the John passage makes clear. Simply put, Christ comes into the manger and onto the cross to be our savior. Edward Elgar famously said about his Enigma variations that they were all based on a tune that everyone knew, which sounds like a lovely idea, but not even people much more musical than me have ever worked out exactly what he meant by that. But using that analogy, we can clearly see that John's gospel declares the vast variety of lives on this earth are all variations on the theme that is stated in one clear musical line, which we heard today in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. And we heard the core of that today in our reading from the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That life that lives in Jesus is like a word which is addressed to us. But like any words which are addressed to us, it demands a response. And the passage we heard today goes on at once to tell us that the expected response was not forthcoming. We hear in today's passage that even as we celebrate Christmas, the painful truth that the coming of Jesus splits the world into those who respond and those who don't. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light. Once the word is spoken in the world, there is no way back. Our response to it exposes what is deepest in us, what matters the most. You have to decide. Are you on the side of the life that lives in Jesus, the life of grace and of truth, of unstinting generosity and unsparing honesty, the only life that gives life to others? Or are you on your own side, on the side of disconnection, rivalry, the hoarding of gifts, the obsession with control? Finding words to respond to the word made flesh is, and always has been, one of the most demanding things human beings can do. So how are we as a society responding to the message of the word? Many would say not well. Bonds have been broken, trusts abused and lost. In the darkness, the question sounds clear as ever to each of us and to our church and to our society. Where are we? Where are the words we can use to answer the darkness of the void? Especially today, at this time of joy and of celebration all around the world, we are conscious of the darkness. When we look at those disturbing images on the news, or we deal with issues in our own lives, we sometimes can ask, where is the great light? Where is the triumph and the truth of the words from chapter 1 of John's Gospel? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, when we're honest, it seems to many of us that the darkness this year has often seemed to overcome the light. We think about the evils that are being inflicted on the people of Ukraine, and we wonder why there is no peace in the Holy Land, the birthplace of the Prince of Peace. And what of those in this country who will be cold and hungry today as the cost of living crisis continues to bite and causes such immense anxiety and hardship? And what of the women in Afghanistan deprived of education and all human decency? It's always important to say that our commitment to justice, to fight back against those forces, springs from God's light in the darkness. This baby, given in mercy, allows us to compare such a love to those rulers who grasp at power, and to ask, whose name will be remembered? Who will be welcomed by God? But even when the world forgetfully turns a blind eye to injustice and to suffering, and pays no attention to the consequences of war, God is present through Jesus in this world. God does not give up on the darkness-loving world. When we sing, as we did a few minutes ago, the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel, remember, means God is with us. And that reminds us that God sees and acts. The rulers of the countries we're talking about may just possibly escape human justice. They will never escape the judgment of God, who especially loves the poor and the afflicted. And that is truly why we are all here today. We are not here just to sing the wonderful carols, and we're certainly not here just to listen to me. We're here today to meet Jesus. He is God's gift of life and light. In Jesus Christ, God reaches out to each one of us here, to you and to me, reaches out those small hands of a little baby. God reaches out to those whose families have no resources around us in this country today, and it reaches into the dark cells of prisons, into the struggles on hospital wards, to those on small boats, to the despairing, and even to the condemned and to the wicked. And there are all those in those communities and in this church who act as God's hands, who open their hearts and their homes to love their neighbors far and wide, who staff the caravan, or who contribute their financial resources to help us in our battle for justice. In their daily life, the love of God pours from many of us here. Last week, I visited the Baptist Church in Stenhouse. Our new United Parish will be covering that area now. And I've been speaking to the ministry staff there at the Baptist Church to find out what work we can do to help them in their community, which complements the work that the Baptist Church is already doing. They kindly invited me along to their coffee morning, and knowing me, I was first in the queue. And I have to say, the coffee morning was wonderful. It was one of my highlights of Christmas. It was a mix of people who live in that community many of whom don't have much money, and they just coming together to eat cake and to enjoy themselves. I played snakes and ladders with some adults with learning disabilities who live in a home near there, and of course, they beat me. I thought afterwards how blessed I felt to be there. I couldn't solve any of the issues which people have in their lives, but I could show and be shown warmth and acceptance, and could feel the grace of God surrounding us all. That's what can happen when we welcome Christ into our lives. And that's true for us all. When we open our hearts and our future to Christ, we will find that his presence brings light and life and freedom to all our relationships. And we can share that light in the world. So let us go out from here, wherever we are, online or those of us who are physically here. Let us go out inspired, like the shepherds, to glorify and praise God for all we have heard and seen, not just in the silence of our inward living and our hearts, but also in the cries and the shouts and the dance and the songs of those who are transformed by the Christ child. What makes this time of year wonderful is not the sentimental Christmas that is marketed and sold to us. What makes this time wonderful is that God stands with us during those dark days. Is that it's the hope, that hope, that can make all the difference, and it's the only hope that matters. All over this country, all over this world, there is a rebellion. There are echoes of the defiant, joy-filled refrain of the angels who sang and danced before the shepherds, people, remember, that society thought mattered the least. Acts of service and love are the weapons of this rebellion by those who have not given up on others, imitating the love of God who gives up on no one. We must be these rebels who choose light in the darkness and life in the face of death and love amongst the indifferent. And in so doing, know it or not, dance and echo the voice of the angels. Love is the opposite of turning away and of giving up on each other. This is how God responds to the darkness. Through Jesus, something new, something unprecedented, is at work in creation. The unconquerable light shines in the darkness. The angels sing, the magi travel, and even mighty Herod cannot defeat a small child. And through Jesus Christ, God calls every person, all of us, you and me, to be the bearer of an alternative possibility to the darkness. For Jesus Christ is the remedy for the sadness and suffering of the world. We must not give up on each other, for God does not give up on us. So to those who are not having a good time this year or who are struggling with the terrible news from all around the world, I want to say, God is Emmanuel. And remember, God is Emmanuel and God stands with us all. The birth of a baby oh so long ago reminds us that we are not alone. Thanks be to God. We're now going to sing